Well, bless your hearts. Wow. This message is called Bumper Harvest. Oh, boy. We're going to get in all kinds of trouble today. I hope you're ready. Fasten your seatbelts. The plane's about to take off. We will be about 30,000 feet, so take some deep breaths when we get up there. We will come back down. Amen. So, bumper harvest. So, Amos 9:13 says that there's going to be a time. The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. Let me read it again. The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. That means things are happening so fast that your head is spinning and God is pouring out on you in such abundance that it literally leads you into this place of exhilaration and hilarious joy. I don't know if you remember what Elizabeth did when God said she's going to have a baby when she was 90 years old, but she laughed hysterically. That was a little bit too much, right? So I had a vision when prayer time this morning, and I saw this glass on a countertop, and Jesus came up to the glass, and he had a big pitcher, and it was full of wine. And he took the big pitcher of wine, and he started to pour it into the glass. And it started to get higher and higher and higher, and the wine started going up over top of the glass. And I was like, well, that's, you know, that no one's going to be able to drink that. It's just too top. And then the wine went out of the glass and began to go on the countertop. And I was like, whoa, what's he doing now? And then the wine came off the countertop and started to go onto the floor. And then I saw the wine go out onto the floor, and I saw the altar, and the wine started going down the altar and it started to go out to the congregation. I'm going to tell you, everything that the enemy has that where he tries to make you feel good or tries to give you some kind of ecstasy or tries to give you something that wants to satisfy, let me tell you that Jesus has something that's real. Can I tell you, when the Holy Spirit is poured forth, there's a reason when they were up in the upper room and they said, "We are not drunk as you suppose." They thought that they were drunk. They were so intoxicated on the presence of God. They were so intoxicated on the abundance of God that their minds literally couldn't handle what God was pouring out on them. And it was a witness, and it was a sign, and it was a wonder that the people of God had so much joy. You know that you're supposed to walk with joy, and someone's supposed to see joy on you, and someone's supposed to say, "My goodness, how is this joy on you? How are you walking in such joy?" Do you know it's contagious? Do you know that you can go into a place full of joy, and there can be some depressed people, and there can be some people that are in panic mode, and you walk into the room with the presence of God, and you absolutely change it and turn the atmosphere upside down, and all of a sudden they say, "I haven't had joy for years, but now I got it." Oh boy. He's a more than enough God. And then I saw Jesus, and he comes over, and he had bread in his hand, and he dipped the bread in the wine, and he said, "Come on and eat." He said, "Come on and eat my body. Come on and drink my blood. Come on and have communion with me. Come and get intoxicated." Oh. Oh, boy. Someone's got to say, "Oh, boy." Can someone say, "Oh, boy"? Oh, boy. Eye has not seen nor ear heard where God has taken the church. Oh my goodness, fasten your seatbelts and get ready for the ride of your life. Get ready for the ride of your life. Do not faint in doing good, because in due season you will reap what you've sown. And listen, not only are you going to reap what you've sown, but we're going to reap what other people sown. Seed after seed after seed after seed after seed after seed after seed. When seeds go into the ground, they're coming back up. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a comeback for the church. I'm telling you, there's seeds that are planted in the ground, and the church is going to make a comeback. And the church isn't going to be last in line. The nations are going to come rushing into the church, wanting wisdom and wanting revelation and wanting knowledge. And we're going to have it. You say, I'm not sure I'm going to have it. You know what God says? When you open your mouth, I'm going to give you the words to say. You're not going to have some pre-prescribed thought or paragraph or sentence. He says, I'm going to open your mouth, and I'm going to open your eyes, and I'm going to open your ears, and I'm going to use you. I'm going to pour through you as God. And people are going to recognize that there's something happening within the church in America and in the world. That is all free. Nobody had to pay for that. Now this is a dollar a minute. You ready? Oh boy. So this message came about when I was studying for the last message about Benjamin and Joseph. Remember we talked about Benjamin being a type of the church and Joseph being a type of Jesus. It was called Son of My Right Hand. I was studying it. I ran across this term called bumper crop. And I said, what's a bumper crop? So in Genesis 41, this is where it starts, is verse 47, and this is what it says. It says, during the 7 years of abundance, the land produced bumper crops. You remember this whole story, right? Joseph had this revelation that there was going to be 7 years of abundance, and there was going to be 7 years of famine, and God gave him the knowledge of what to do in that time, and it was to store up crops in that 7 years, and the crops in that 7 years just wasn't an average return. God already had it set up that there was going to be bumper crops every year. God's got it set up. The land produced bumper crops. Joseph supervised the gathering up of all the great stores of food of the 7 years of abundance and strategically placed them in various walled cities near where the harvest was gathered. Can I tell you that God has strategically placed church after church after church after church in this city and this state on this corner? He has strategically placed houses of bread. And let me tell you, when people are starving, they come looking for bread. And there was a bunch of starving people out there that want real, good-smelling bread. 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 Fresh bread. We're not serving stale bread at Abundant Life Fellowship. We are selling fresh bread. It is made every day and every morning because we wake up every day and we say, give us this day our daily bread. I can't live off yesterday's bread or last month's bread or last year's bread. I gotta have daily bread. You need daily bread and I need daily bread. We gotta hear a word from the Lord when we wake up in the morning. Seven years of abundance and strategically placed them in various walled cities near where the harvest was gathered. He gathered such massive quantities of produce that he gave up trying to measure it all, for it was like counting the sand on a seashore. And can I tell you, the church is headed to a place where we are not going to be able to count the signs and miracles and wonders and the dead being raised and people just being blessed with. You're not going to be able to count it all. You're not going to be able to shut up about it. You're going to have to talk about it. You're going to have to say something. It is going to be overflowing out of your body to the extent that you are not going to be able to keep your mouth shut. And you are not going to care because God has taken the fear of man out of the church. And then prior to the famine in verse 50, it says, Joseph and Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of Heliopolis, had two sons. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, saying, God has made me forget all my troubles in my parental home. And where God has taken the church is he's taken you to a place where you can say, just like Paul, that I'm forgetting those things that are behind and I am moving forward for this high calling of Christ Jesus. One of the ways to receive abundance is famine, is you gotta forget what happened. Stop rehearsing what happened 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. He's got fresh bread for you every day. We don't have to keep rehearsing the past and the pain and the trauma. Forgetting those things. he just happens to name his son Manasseh before the famine hits. God knows what he's doing. He said, God has made me forget all my troubles in my parental home. The second, he named Ephraim, saying, God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Well, I don't have it all together. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what's going on in my mind and my body. Do you know that God can make you fruitful in the land of your suffering? And in the land of your suffering, the enemy comes and says, look at you, you poor thing. And God just wants to take your hand and bring you up out of that muck and mire of that junk. And he wants to bring you up out of that place and forget all your troubles. And he wants to make you fruitful in the land of your suffering. Well, I'm suffering. Well, get ready to be fruitful in that place. Well, I want to have everything together and I want to have all my ducks in the row. He says, I'm going to take every duck that you have and I'm going to throw it out the window. And if you got 10 ducks in a row, I'm going to take all 10 of them and I'm going to kick them that way and I'm kicking them that way and I'm kicking them that way till you get to the point where you say, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. Take control, God. Take control, God. I'm tired of being in control. I'm tired of trying to control my emotions. I'm tired of trying to control the people around me. I'm tired. Isn't that amazing when you get to that place and you say, I need a savior? Eventually, Egypt's 7 years of abundance come to an end. Then they began the 7 years of famine. And just as Joseph, or Jesus, prophesied, although there was a severe famine everywhere else, food was available throughout the land of Egypt. Food is going to be available in the church of God. Even when there's a famine everywhere else, the people of God are going to live in abundance. Ah, whoa, abundance. I almost feel like today God is trying to reset our brain. It's almost like he's pressing a button and he's saying, I need to reset the way you think. I need to reset and I need to get you out of this idea of poverty and lack, and I need to push this button and I need to reset it and I need to get you to a place where you're expecting again. Whew. I don't know if you noticed, but expectant mothers have a bump. Huh. Hannah, I'm not going to make you stand up. There's a bump. Where it used to be flat, there's a bump. The bumper crop, the bumper harvest. And the farmers back in the day, they would have these barrels. And when there was a bumper crop, they would fill the barrels with grain and the barrels would begin overflowing and there'd be grain all around the barrel. But then the barrel wasn't flat anymore or half filled. The barrel had a bump. It's a bumper crop. It's a bumper harvest. Yeah. Isn't it interesting when the woman is pregnant, she goes through all these changes and all these hormonal things, and there's all this pain and all these highs and lows, and because there's a bumper crop on the inside of her, and in the land of her suffering, even though she doesn't think so, God is blessing her, and then comes the baby, and when the baby comes, it literally says the woman forgets about all the pain. All the pain of sowing and praying and wondering if your kids are coming back, wondering if your relatives are coming back, and wondering where is God? It was like the sand on the seashore. My goodness. The 7 years of abundance come to an end and everybody's running to Joseph. Can I tell you, everybody's running to Jesus? There's something that happens when the bare necessities are taken away from a person, when a person doesn't have the things that normally get them to the place where they feel comfortable and they're taking them away, and all of a sudden they start to search for God. If we've all been there. When I received Christ, I wasn't on some mountaintop living this awesome life and just decided, well, I need a savior. The reason why you got taken to the lowest of the low place or to a place where you were confused and didn't know which way to turn, it was a setup for you to say, I need a savior. And this world is going to figure out at some point in the years to come that they need a savior too. Oh,
okay.
Reset. Pharaoh says to his people, go to Joseph or go to Jesus and do whatever he tells you to do. Even if it seems absolutely ridiculous, ask Jesus, what do you want from me today? I guarantee you one thing, it's not going to be average or normal. No. As the famine worsened over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses. He opened all the churches. Jesus opened all the churches and sold grain to the Egyptians. Are you all hearing this? Are you hearing this prophetic word? The world represents Egypt. The world represents this place called Babylon, this land of confusion. But Jesus opens up all the storehouses. Joseph opens up all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe everywhere. So because of the severity of the worldwide famine, people from all over the world had to come and buy grain from Jesus, from Joseph. So I looked up the term bumper crop, and this is what it says. Bumper crop is a term we use in English to describe an unexpectedly abundant harvest. Are you expecting today? Are you expecting today for an abundant harvest, not just in your life, but in your family's life and the people around you? Are you excited, and are you expecting something to happen? An unexpectedly abundant harvest or yield of crops from a farm. It is usually things like grains, fruits, or vegetables. The expression implies that the goods harvested have far exceeded what the farmer had originally expected or what they normally get as an average. Basically, it's like saying they got way more than they needed. Let me tell you, they got what they needed and they got more. Because that's who God is. God is the overflowing God. And the next thing I go in my brain, I'm thinking about Ephesians 3:20. So I rewind a few verses in this, and this is what it says, and this is going to absolutely blow your minds. Listen to this. And I pray that he would unveil within you. Someone say within you. He's going to unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and his favor. Can I tell you, the amount of favor that is on the church and is coming on the church is going to be mind-boggling. Favor. Favor makes you turn around and say, what in the world? I don't deserve this. Why? Because it's favor. But let's do a reset today, and let's get into this mode of reception, understanding that God wants to pour out something upon us, not just for us, but for the people around us and this world. So we can't be in this mentality of just, no, I don't, I'm not, that's just too much. It's not, I'm not good enough. And God's like, just throw that all that, forget all of that stuff. Everybody breathing. Raise your hand if you're breathing. Everybody, are we lively stones today? He's going to unveil it within you, the unlimited riches of his glory and favor, until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and what? His explosive power, his dunamis power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released where? Deep on the inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of the Christ in all its dimensions. You say, what are the dimensions? It's deep, and it's high, and it's wide. Multi-dimensional love. What does that mean? That Jesus can be your dad. Jesus can be your mom. He can be your brother. He can be your sister. He can be your boss. He can be your CEO. He can be your lawyer. He can be a bunch of different things because he's multi-dimensional. Well, I didn't grow up with a dad, or my dad treated me wrong. Jesus can be your dad if you need him to be your dad. He can be your grandma, your grandpa. He can be your neighbor. He can be whatever you need him to be at that point in time. Multidimensional love. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our, I don't understand how he loves me this much. Guess what? Welcome to that world. Of that it's transcending your understanding. That's why God's like, throw rationality and logic out of the window. Get rid of it. this extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God, the fullness of God. He says, never doubt God's mighty power. Never doubt it. To work in you and to accomplish all this, he will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. What are you asking for? What are you asking for? It says that he's going to infinitely do more than your greatest request. Your most unbelievable dream, it says he's going to exceed your wildest imagination. Some of us in here have pretty wild imaginations. God's imagination is way wild, more wild than ours or yours. Man, he will outdo them all. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you, energizes us over and above what you could ever think or imagine. Welcome to the world of Jesus. Oh, they're just expecting just little pieces of fish and little pieces of loaf and here a little, there a little. And he says, you don't understand who I am. I'm about to feed 5,000 people with just a little bit of loaves and a little bit of fish. If you'd open up your eyes and if I would open my eyes, you would see that the harvest is ripe right now. We are not waiting, as the Bible says, 4 more months. Jesus said, why are you waiting 4 more months to see the harvest? The harvest is here. And I'm back there last Sunday. And I'm thinking about dirt and thinking about soil. And I knew what direction this message was going to go. And all of a sudden, Jeff, when he's praying, he says, I'm hoping that the people have fertile ground or have a fertile heart to receive the word. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this is going on in my mind. And this is how God speaks. And we have this message of this idea of how does God speak? How do you hear God's voice? Pay attention to what you're thinking about. Pay attention to, if you've got a renewed mind and the Bible says you have the mind of Christ, pay attention to what's going on in your mind. Don't push aside everything that goes on in your mind. Do we have some thoughts that don't line up to the word of God? Yeah, that's why we're supposed to study and show ourselves approved. So these thoughts that go through our head, we can either say, this is of the enemy or it's of God. Or maybe it's just me. But listen and pay attention to what you're thinking about. So this happens and I'm all aside. I'm like, I know what the message is going to be. And to top it off, Kim Bleakley comes up and talks about this vision that she had of this house that was actually built on a cornfield. This idea of we are connected to other fields, and the other fields aren't necessarily us, but it literally was the idea of we are praying and supporting these other fields. And it said to be expectant about the harvest. I gotta find it. The wording is, my harvest is ready. I will have my full harvest. Jesus will have his full reward. He will have the reward of his suffering. Fields attached to fields, attached to fields, attached to fields. Ministries attached to ministries, attached to ministries. Groups attached to groups, attached to groups. God's speaking. And around this time, Kelly and I are literally walking down one of the back country roads by our house, which every road there is a back country road. So we're like walking down this road, and there's this field where the day before there was some grass and there were some flowers and there was things and there was birds and stuff. And this time we walked by, and there was these furrows. I mean, this land had just been churned up. And it looked like the furrows, like the soil, the dirt was, it looked like it was 3.5 feet high. And all these crevices and stuff. And Kelly just makes this comment. She said, that's beautiful. Isn't it interesting that some will look at that field and say, man, it looks a lot better with corn in it, or it looks a lot better with beans in it, or it looks a lot better with wheat in it. But to God, when he sees a field that is churned under, he says, man, that's a beautiful thing. And he says the same thing about our hearts. When our hearts are fertile ground and our hearts are churned under, and we have a broken and contrite spirit, he says, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, because I can take the beauty of that ground and I can plant seed in it and I can see things come forth. Some of you, when you were literally planted by God, you thought you were buried. Maybe some of you in here right now think that you were buried. Can I tell you, he didn't bury you, he planted you. He planted you. He literally planted you so that the fruit could come up from the ground. He didn't bury you so that you would die in that place. And that's it. He did bury you so you would die in that place, but what? To produce fruit. Because if a kernel of grain, if it's not put in the ground, if it doesn't die, it doesn't multiply, right? Holy smokes, it's 11:45. Man. Luke 6:38, which I'm just telling you how this came to me. Luke 6:38 says, give generously and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. In other words, there's a barrel and there's a bunch of stuff in the barrel and I got to push the stuff down and I got to shake it a little bit and I got to put some more and I got to push it down and shake it a little bit and I got to push it and shake it a little bit. And some of you in here are like, why am I being shaken all of the time? God is shaking you so he can put more in you. Because the truth is, when we think we have it all together and we all, again, we got all our ducks in a row and we're in this place, we end up going to the left or to the right. And God's like, no, I'm going to keep shaking you. I'm going to keep shaking you because in that shaking, I'm making room for more. And in that place of desperation and in that place of seeming darkness, what God was doing, he was literally hollowing you out to make room for himself in this season. So this last 9, 10, 11, 12 months where you were going through that stage of pregnancy and you were going through that stage of hurt and you were going through that stage of trauma and pain and some stuff that you thought you were over, God is starting to churn back up for you to deal with it. And you're like, why is all this happening? He is hollowing you out. He is emptying you so he can come in and overflow in your life. I know it makes absolutely no sense. It makes no sense to the human brain. It makes no sense to our emotions. It makes no sense to our natural man because it scares us. It causes fear to come on the inside of our heart. It causes, he's saying is, in those times, I want you to cling to me and run to me. Abundant gifts will be poured out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. The measuring of your generosity becomes the measuring of your return. For some of you, bumper crops are going to be multiplied resources in all shapes and manners and fashions. I'm telling you this right now so when it comes, you know it's from God. I can't wait. Can you say that? I can't wait. I can't wait to see what God's going to do in my life. I cannot wait to see what he's going to do in my family's life. I cannot wait. I'm living expectantly every day, every minute, every second. I'm expecting multiplied resources. For some, it may be multiplied salvations in your family and the people you have been praying for. Get ready. For the people that you've been praying for and the people that are in your family that you thought were so far gone. Yeah, you're thinking about someone right now. Now he's saying, this person I'm thinking about is way worse than the person you're thinking about. He's way more far gone than what you're thinking about right now. For some, it may be multiplied impact in ministry. Some new door opens. So he tells you, I want you to teach this class. I want you to do this. It's something having to do with ministry. It's something, some impact in ministry. For some, it may be multiplied signs and wonders and miracles. For some, it may be multiplied healing in your body and healing for those that you've been praying for. For some, it may be job promotions, acquiring land, investment opportunities, new businesses. Can someone say new businesses? I know there's some new businesses in here. Let me tell you something, that if you're starting a new business right here, God has his hand on it, and he's going to bless you. And whatever you're thinking you're going to do in your first to 5 years, he's going to absolutely blow your minds. Absolutely blow your minds. New businesses, inheritances. Who knows? My message is to be expectant and prepare your minds for increase. And I wrote this, well, this sounds like a feel-good message. Exactly. Guess what? This is good news. This is good news. The Bible says our God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. This is a message for those that diligently seek him. And if you're not seeking him now, diligently seek him. Because he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In due season, you will reap what you've sown if you faint not. If you don't walk away, and if you don't listen to the lies of the enemy, and if you don't get pulled this way and that way, if you'll just stay planted, God will see, you'll see that you will reap what you have sown. And we are talking about multiplication and not addition. Prepare your minds to receive so when it manifests, you can say, this is that. You can say, this came from my dad. This came from daddy. Just the same way you want to give your kids good gifts, your God wants to give you good gifts. For kingdom work. The Bible says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. One of the things he comes to kill, steal, and destroy is the harvest. Isn't it interesting that he goes after the seed? You say, well, give me an example. He tried to kill Jesus. The word of life. And the enemy tried to kill him. Why? Because he knew if that word or if Jesus went into the ground, he was doomed. He knew if that seed, if Jesus, the word, the seed, went into the ground and he was resurrected, he knew he was doomed. So he did everything he possibly could to get Jesus to not go on the cross. That's why in the desert, he kept coming up to him and saying, all this stuff I'll give you, Jesus. I'll give you, Jesus, if you just bow down to me. And over, he tried to get Jesus to quit because he knew if Jesus was going to go die and be resurrected and ascend to his Father, there's going to be a bunch of us that ascend with him and are seated in heavenly places. And the enemy did everything that he could, but he didn't do it. He failed at his attempt, and just when he thought he was successful at what he did, Jesus was raised from the dead, so now that you can be raised with him and be seated in heavenly places. That is the importance of the seed. The seed. It says, God is not mocked in Galatians 6, verse 7, for what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed you planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. And don't allow yourselves to be weary in planting good seed, for the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. And I'll go as far as to say, as it's here. And then I move in, and I'm going to go through this quickly. My next thought, if we're talking about seed, we're talking about ground, is the parable of the sower. And I want you to understand something about the parable of the sower, because, you know, we can get into these mindsets that I've heard that a million times. I've got a good grip on that. Well, hold on a second. What very important in this season is to have something called a teachable spirit. Because God wants to teach us some stuff. And we may have some things in our brain and some concepts and some religious structures and some ways of thinking that God says, I want to take that thing and I want to smash that holy cow. First of all, in Mark 4:13, this is Jesus talking. So picture Jesus talking, and he says to them, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any of them? What was he saying? He said, if you don't understand the parable of the sower and the seed and the fact that I need fertile ground and fertile hearts to put my seed into to produce a fruit and produce a harvest, you're not going to understand anything, because seeds contain revelation. Listen to me, the soil is important, but the seed is greater in importance, because the seed holds the potential and the energy and the power of God. And God wants to take the energy and power, and he wants to put it on in the inside of your fertile heart, your teachable heart, your expectant heart. And he wants to plant those seeds in fertile ground that he'll have his harvest. He is doing this whole thing for a harvest. And you know what's awesome? What's most important and number one is not necessarily all these resources we've been talking about, but it's the salvation of your soul and the salvation of the souls of the people that are around you. He wants a harvest. He wants to gather all of his kids together. He doesn't want one to be lost. He said, I'll go after the one. I'll leave the 99 behind, but I will run after and chase down that one, because I want my harvest. So I don't want one to be lost. If you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any parable? He thought it was so important that he actually gives a detailed explanation of what it means after. Most of the parables, everybody were left hanging, going, what in the world is he talking about? Well, this one, he says, I'm not going to leave you hanging on this one, guys. I'm going to go down line by line. I'm going to teach you exactly what it means, because this is extremely important. And this word about the word of truth, And we're making our way through this and we're going to be done. And this is what it says. This is Luke 8 and this is where it begins. And this is what it says. I love it. Massive crowds gathered. See, again, sometimes we picture in our brain is just sometimes just that we think small and we think, well, there was just like 100 people gathered around Jesus. This says there was a massive crowd. And when I think of massive crowds, I think of tens of thousands of people. I think about a massive crowd. Well, that was a big crowd. Was it massive? This is a massive crowd. And they gathered from many towns to hear Jesus. And he taught them using metaphors and parables such as this. A farmer went out to sow seeds for a harvest. Can you imagine going up to a farmer and saying, why did you sow seeds? Oh, just for the heck of it. No, he's sowing seeds for a harvest. And in the same way, the Savior, Jesus, along with the Spirit of God and our Father, they are in this together and they want this harvest to come forth and they want the seed to come up on side in the inside of believers and produce revelation and produce insight. So why? So we can understand the schemes of the enemy. Boy, when you get the word of God down in your heart and down in that fertile place and the enemy starts to come at you and whisper things and I'm going to give you this and I want you to do this, you say, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. Why? Because the word is on the inside of you. The word is in your heart. He went out to sow seeds for a harvest. As he scattered the seeds, just picture this happening. The seeds are being scattered. Some of them fell on the hard pathway and were quickly trampled down and they were unable to grow. And became nothing but bird seed. Some fell on the gravel, or some versions say rocks, and though they sprouted, they couldn't take root. It withered for what? A lack of moisture. Other seeds fell where there was nothing but weeds, some versions say thorns. They too were unable to grow to full maturity. God wants to bring the church and us into this place called full maturity. Full maturity. For the weeds choked them out, the thorns choked them out. Yet some of the seeds fell into good, fertile soil, and they grew and they flourished until they produced more than what? A hundredfold harvest. I want you to picture what this looks like. This takes a dollar and makes it 100. This takes $1,000 and makes it 10,000. This takes $10,000 and a hundredfold harvest is 10 million. This is a multiplication of God. This is us saying, I just planted this one thing. Oh my goodness, there's 100. But it says some have 30, some have 60, some have 100. Do you not want a 100-fold harvest for the kingdom of God? Because I'm going to tell you something. Within that harvest is 100-fold joy. 100-fold healings. 100-fold deliverances. 100-fold. Come on. You're going to see it and you're going to say, this is that. You're going to be embarrassed at how much God dumps on you. You're going to blush. Hundredfold. And this is hundredfold, right? What's it say? Bumper crop. It's a bumper crop. Isn't that fun to say? Somebody say bumper crop. They'll say it three times really fast. Can't do it, right? Bumper crop, bumper crop, bumper crop. If you don't remember something, you remember that. Then Jesus added, whispering, no. It says Jesus added shouting out. He was shouting at the top of his lungs to all that would hear, listen with your heart and you will understand. Later his disciples came to him privately to ask him what deeper meaning they could find in this parable. He said, you have been given a teachable heart to perceive the secret hidden mysteries of God, God's kingdom realm. But to those without a listening heart, my words are merely stories. And you've heard people talk about this. What are you talking about? The Bible is just a bunch of stories. It's a bunch of stories. It's a bunch of stories. They don't have listening hearts. Even though they have eyes, they are blind to the true meaning of what I say. And even though they listen, they won't receive, come on now, full revelation. Not 25%, not 50, not 75%. Full revelation. I don't know about you, but I want the full revelation of the love of God in my heart. I want the full thing. I don't want my glass half full. I want it full. I want my glass overflowing. I want that 100-fold harvest. Here then is the deeper meaning to my parable. The word of God is the seed. He just shifts gears and he says, listen, you want to know what the seed is? It's the word. It's the word. That is why the enemy will fight you tooth and nail to keep you out of the word. That is why the enemy has fought the validity of the Bible year after year after year, but the Bible has gone nowhere. There's been no books added. There has been no books taken away. There is still the same amount of books. It is still the same words, because the enemy is not going to be able to wreak havoc on the word of God, because the word of God was buried, resurrected, and he rose again. He's not messing with that anymore. Listen, he can lie and kill and destroy and put a bunch of smoke and mirrors in front of you, but what he cannot do is he cannot touch the word. You get the word in your heart, you are dangerous to the enemy. It is written. He comes full barrels, locked and loaded. All you got to say is, it is written. Oof, you feel that? It is written, enemy. It is written. That's why he fights it so hard. The soil or condition of the heart creates the condition or atmosphere for the ability, the power, and the energy. But the ability, the power, and the energy is in the word or in the seed. The heart is just the atmosphere for the seed to produce fruit. He wants to get your heart all messed up. Oh, hear me. He wants to get you brokenhearted. He wants to get you rejected. And he wants to get you hateful. And he wants to get you to live in unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness. Why? Because he's after your heart. Because he knows if he can get your heart all messed up, that the seed's going to go forth. And you'll start things like this. Well, Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites anyway. I don't need to go to church. I can do my own thing with God. Come on. These are the lies that the enemy spews on people. Why? Because he doesn't want that seed to get on the inside of your heart. He wants to get us offended. Isn't it amazing that sometimes church can be the place where you get the most offended? You say, why is that? Because the enemy's not dumb. Okay, we're moving along. Because with that seed comes revelation, and your eyes are open to his schemes. He's after the seed because he's after the revelation. The last thing he wants you to do is to study the word and get it in your spirit. That's why he fights the word so hard. He tried to kill the word. We're moving. The hard pathway, and this is what Jesus starts talking about, represents the hard hearts of those who hear the word, but the slanderer quickly snatches away what was sown in their hearts to keep them from believing and experiencing salvation. The word slanderer literally means false accusations. The enemy comes with false accusations. He is the father of lies. Thank God that we have a lawyer, we have an advocate that stands at the right hand of the Father as our lawyer, and over and over and over again, he is our defense. So the slanderer chatters and chatters and chatters. He whispers, you're not worthy of love. You passed the point of no return. You might as well give up. God's not real. The Bible's not real. You don't need to go to church. Believers are hypocrites anyway. The enemy wants to harden your heart through his lies and get you to the point where you're unteachable. The seeds falling on gravel or rocks represent those who initially respond to the word with joy. But soon afterward, when a season of difficulty and harassment of the enemy comes to them, they wither and fall away. Again, why is there a season of difficulty and harassment of the enemy? Because he's after the word. Isn't it amazing when God speaks a word of you, whether it's directly or through a person, all hell breaks loose in your life? Just ask Joseph what that's all about, because Joseph has a vision of the sun and the stars and the moon bowing down to him and all his brothers bowing down to him. And he's on this high, this joyous revelation. And the next thing that you know, his brothers are trying to kill him, trying to kill the plan of God, trying to stop Joseph from, and ended up being the second in command in Egypt and literally saving the world through food. The enemy has all those traps set up when you were 3 years old and 5 years old and 10 years old and you were 20 years old, or you were in high school or elementary school and early on in your life, and he's got all these traps and all these schemes and all these things that he tried to do to get you off path. But guess what? You're sitting here today in Abundant Life Fellowship and you're hearing the word of God. His plan did not succeed in your life. My goodness, you're sitting here today. Most of you should have been dead. Drug overdoses. Relationships that were destroyed and you wanted to die. You wanted to commit suicide. You want all kinds of stuff. The enemy's he tried to do all kinds of things to stop you from sitting in these seats today, but here you are. Pastor Don used to say this thing all the time. He used to say, I'm still here. The enemy would come at him with whatever scheme. He'd say, I'm still here. For they have no root in the truth, and their faith is temporary. We're almost done. Those rocks could be strongholds of bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, past trauma, new trauma, false mindsets, addictions, all of that junk. The seeds that fell on thorns or weeds represent the hearts of those who hear the word of God, but their growth is quickly choked off by their own anxious cares. It says the riches of the world. King James says the deceit, or New King James, I think they both say this, the deceitfulness of riches. So it is not the riches in and of themselves, is the deceitfulness of the riches. Because riches reveal heart attitudes. If I'm a $100 jerk and I hit the lottery, I'm a $10 million jerk. All it does is reveal what's on the inside of someone's heart. It is not the money that it is the evil part. It is the deceitfulness of it. And the fleeting pleasures of life. This is why they never became mature or fruitful. The word cares in this passage comes from two words meaning divided mind. Look it up. Cares says, two words, divided mind. It says a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways, which leads to anxiety, confusion, and stress. That's why it says, look at the lilies. I know some of you in here today had revelation on this week. The lilies, they don't toil or spin. And even Solomon was not robed in splendor like them. Also, it talks about the birds not planting seed or storing up food, and yet God supplies their needs. He told the disciples, when you go out, I don't want you taking anything with you. Listen, the church has come into this place, and we do not fear man anymore, where God's going to be saying stuff to you, and you're going to be like, that makes no sense. He's going to tell you to go somewhere, and you're going to say, you don't need anything but me. You don't need anything from me. Well, I'm worried about the money to finance things. You don't need anything. You don't need to worry about anything but me. You keep doing what I tell you to do, and you will get supernatural provision poured down into your bosom, shaken together, running over. He wants some people, and he wants to take your hand, and he wants to take you to the edge of the cliff, and he wants to say, take my hand, and you take his hand, and he's going to say, we're jumping. What's really far down, Jesus? There's rocks down there, and the waves are crashing against the rocks, and there's a bunch of birds that I know are going to eat me once I die and I'm laying in the ocean. Your mind goes all kinds of crazy places, right? When he tells you to jump. And we make 100 different excuses of why. Why? When we're on the edge of the cliff with Jesus, and he says, we're jumping together. We make all kinds of reasons of why that's not going to work. But you're coming to a season where you're at the level of trust, and you have enough word on the inside of you that when Jesus tells you to jump, you're jumping with him. You're jumping with him. You're jumping with him. Get out of the boat. You know, the waves are crashing on the boat. Peter's the only one that has the guts to step out. And we always, you hear sermons preach about Simon, it's about him, about Peter. And he's like, he's walking, and oh, poor Peter didn't have enough faith because Jesus had to grab his hand. At least Peter got out of the boat. There was a bunch of other people that were still in the boat. At least Peter got out of the boat. And I think Jesus had it set up where Peter, he's going to tell Peter, you're never going to be able to totally walk on the water without me. So when you start to sink, I'm going to pick you and I'm going to take your hand. I'm going to use your example. So when Christians read this, they know when they start to sink that they're not going to always be able to walk on water. They're not going to be able to walk 10 miles on water. You may be able to just walk 5 yards, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to grab your hand and we're going to walk on this water together. We're never going to get to a place in this life where we do not need Jesus or in the life to come. Oh, almost done. Let's go. The deceitfulness of riches. Remember, it's not the riches, it's the deceitfulness that can come with the riches. The false sense of power, position, image, identity, all tied up in money. Oh, I finally arrived. And he says, guess what? You think you finally arrived? When you end up in that wooden box, you can't take a dime with you, and everything that you earned is going to someone else anyway. False sense of all of this. The smoke and mirrors of life. You say, what? This is good. You say, what amount of money is too much? The amount of money that causes you to stop trusting him. Come on now. See, there's some of us in here that if we got $1 million, we'd end up dead. You know how many people have died because they hit the lottery, or their families exploded and broke up and there was all this chaos and mayhem because the money came in and revealed everybody's hard attitudes? I want to be in the place where God can dump a bunch of money on my lap and he knows that I'm putting it in the right places, and I can be this conduit for him to take the resources of God and administer these resources to people. Fleeting pleasures of life. This is where we're stopped. Fleeting pleasures of life. They last a short time. They're fleeting. This is the realm of lust, overindulgence, soulish pursuits that pull you away from walking in the Spirit. This is when balance and moderation are thrown out the window. Proverbs 25:16 says, if you find some honey, eat just enough, lest you have too much and you vomit it out. This stuff isn't gonna be for us to consume on soulish pursuits. Maybe this is why this word is going forth, because when God dumps this thing on you and you get the promotion, or you get this thing, or you get the money, or your resources are multiplied for kingdom stuff, you don't take them and start spending them in the world. You realize, because you heard the message, that when it's dumped out on you, this is for kingdom movement. Lastly, and you can all stand. Verse 15, the seed that fell into good, fertile soil represents those lovers of the truth. Do you love the truth? Who hear deep within their hearts, they respond by clinging on to the word, keeping it dear as they, what? Endure all things. Because I'm not up here telling you that the church is going to have some kind of cakewalk when all of this is going down. I'm telling you that the church is going to suffer persecution, but in the land of our suffering, God is going to dump out abundance in that place. Clinging to the word, keeping it dear, as what? As they endure all things. Whatever that thing is that's coming, or things that are coming in faith. This is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. Now I want to thank you, Jesus, right now, that this place, this house, built in the middle of a cornfield as a type, is fertile ground for you to move into. We say, Holy Spirit, reign in this house. Come on, somebody. Reign in this house. Just pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, or pray with your understanding, that you would just reign in this house. Lord, we thank you for that vision that you gave Kim, that there was fields attached to fields, attached to fields, attached to fields, attached to fields. There's power and positive attachment. There's power and positive networking. There's power. We had a prophetic word that came over this house that said we were going to be connected to other houses, which has already happened, but we're going to see an acceleration of this house being attached to other houses. And you're going to see some things happen within the church of the world, specifically in the United States, where church, the walls of religion are going to come crashing down. Because truth be known, when things come where we have to endure, we have this thought that we need each other. It's easy to say that I don't need anybody when I'm not going through anything. But when I start to go through something, I say, I need people. I need. We thank you for that vision. We just seal that vision right now. Whatever that means, whatever those things are, whether they're ministries or whatever that is that you said, my harvest, I will have my full harvest. We thank that you will have your full harvest. We thank you for the power of the word that's coming forth in this house, whether it's a whisper or a shout or a roar, that the word of God is going to stand firm in this house. That the things that this house has been built on, the foundation that is built on, that is Christ, will thrive in the days to come. Multiplied healings, needs being met, people coming into their right minds. Such a swirling happening, such an excitement in the air, such an expectation in the air. And we thank you, Lord, that we're expectant because of who you are. And we just seal this word of prayer. People want to come up. Just seal this word in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Expect this week. Expect today. Expect tomorrow. Be expectant of what God's about to do and what he's doing. Everybody say amen.